Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, however, our words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Ben Griffin. His message for today is entitled, The I Am of Apostle Paul, and comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Whatever it is that you are doing, I strongly urge that you stop, set it aside, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, Sister Danielle, and thank you for being such a fine host and those who have tuned in this morning. I want to thank you as well, but more so I want to thank God for this great ministry, the Grace View Church of Christ, and the Grace Nurture telecast. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in on this Thursday morning. Today's lesson is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Many of us are familiar with the I Ams of Jesus. At various places and times, he declared himself to us using the introductory phrase, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. However, on this morning, I want us to consider a passage from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Here, Paul uses the same phrase, I am. He says, I am a debtor to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. Did you notice what Paul said? Three thoughts this morning. I am a debtor. I am ready. I am not ashamed. Two of these thoughts, no doubt, should form our daily tasks. I'm a debtor. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor, no doubt, simply means I'm obligated. It's an obligation. Most of us understand this all too well. When we are in debt, we are obligated to pay the one to whom we are indebted. Sometimes folks ask if we own our homes. The answer is yes, we do. But in reality, we and our bank or our financial institution actually own it. And if we fail to meet our monthly obligation, then we all would join the ranks of the homeless if we are not careful. What was Paul talking about when he used the phrase, I am a debtor? He wasn't talking about financial obligation. This obligation was to preach the gospel message. No doubt, the Apostle Paul was a very unique person, and no doubt because of his relationship with God. But he makes another statement along the same line. Because, see, Paul never forgot what he was before he met Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul recalled in 1 Timothy 1:15 that he was a chief sinner. I mean, he was the big-time sinner. If anyone was called a sinner, he was one. So Paul never forgot who he was, and neither can we forget who he was. Paul realized that he was saved by grace. Before he became a great church planter and evangelist, he was a great sinner saved by the grace of Christ. We also have an obligation to those who have never heard the gospel. Later on in his epistle, Paul reminds us that faith comes by hearing, but also he asks, how can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear if there isn't one to declare the word to them? There, we have it. We have an obligation to share with all the message of salvation. But then Paul says that I am ready. Paul had just resigned to go. he was ready. This word carries with it the idea of being eager to do God's will. The phrase chomping at the bit speaks of the racehorse who can barely wait to get out of the starting blocks into the race. Thus describes our passion to witness. We can't wait. We are ready. We are eager to get out and tell someone what Jesus has done to us and how they can get in on it. Paul was totally committed as well. Listen to his passion. He says, so as much as in me is, with all my heart and with all my soul, are we passionate about sharing Christ with those who we need to hear? Who need to hear? Are we totally committed to the task at hand? Occasionally, I will watch a football game on TV, and I like to see the camera pan to the bleachers. And what you see are fans who are passionate about their team. Not only do they dress up in their team's colors, but some go over the top, no doubt. The word fan is a shortened form of the word fanatic. Oh, what we would be fanatics for the sake of the gospel. I know people don't like the idea of being called a fanatic, but fans, are we a fan of Jesus? Are we a fan of the church? Are we a fan of the gospel? There are times, it may be jubilant, but we need to come fanatical, excited, enthralled about the good news of the gospel of Christ. And then Paul says, I am not ashamed. This word, not ashamed, means I'm not embarrassed. You know, there are many who are embarrassed about being known that they're members of the Lord's church, or that they're a Christian, or that they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't go out to the club no more. I just go to church and come home and be with my family. Some people are embarrassed, make people know that you have a focus in life, that you have a guarded or protected life. And it's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing to be ashamed about that you love Jesus. It's nothing wrong for men to pray on the spot and thank God for their meal. I know kids are sometimes ashamed during school time, during lunch, to bow their head and thank God for their lunch. But parents keep teaching them this because we have no need to be ashamed that we identify with Jesus Christ. So why would Paul be tempted to be ashamed of the gospel? Well, during his time, they were persecuted for preaching the gospel. He was one. He was hated by his own people, the Jews, for preaching the gospel. The Greeks, the educated elite of the day, called it foolishness. The Roman government rejected the teaching of Christianity. So Paul was really up against some very stiff odds. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed. So how could Paul be so confident? Well, he had firsthand experience. Remember, Paul never forgot who he was and where he was before he met Christ. Throughout the New Testament, we find Paul sharing his testimony. He knew what Christ had done in his life, and he knew what Christ could do for all who would simply believe. He believed God's word. Notice what he says in 2 Timothy 1:2. For of the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which he has committed unto me against that day. Paul tells the story. He's not ashamed. He tells Timothy that there is no doubt when it comes to where he has place in his faith. And he was no shame to tell Timothy, it is only through Jesus Christ, the one who saves souls. Not only is he convinced that Jesus can save, he is persuaded that Jesus can keep his salvation. Eternal security is key to not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Whenever we doubt that Christ can save us, then we challenge the validity of our salvation. So we need to say this, then. We have a message that will bring salvation to all people. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He came unto us. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So let's make it personal. We must first experience the power of God through salvation. Have you placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary? We must believe the promises of God, his word to us, that is the essence of our faith, believing that what God has said to us is his word. no doubts, no second thoughts? Do we believe God's word? And we need to be ready, eager, and willing to declare the gospel to all without any hesitation, without any shame, but with all the confidence that the Apostle Paul had. That's our call to the gospel. And so when we look at this passage, he talks about, I'm in debt to the Jews and to the barbarians, to the Greeks, those of the elite class of his society, those who had degrees in philosophy and wisdom and culture, those who knew what each fork was used for and each knife and saucer and cup and drink, cultured people. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm ready to tell them about Jesus. And then he said the barbarians. These were considered the low class of the non-elites during that day, to those who spoke bad language and spoke no language at all, those who probably barely read or write, those who you can understand when they open their mouth. He says, I'm indebted to them as well. So when we look at it in our time, we can say black and white, from the hood, or from Wall Street, it doesn't matter. We need to be ready and prepared to share the good news to those who don't look like us, walk like us, or talk like us, because it is only through this gospel that any man can be saved, regardless of where he lives, or what his race is, or what his sexual orientation may be. The gospel saves, and we must realize that we are debtors. We are obligated to tell everybody, everywhere, about Jesus. And we must be willing and ready, and we cannot be ashamed or embarrassed to let folk know that we are all about Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to start your day knowing you're obligated to share your good news, that you're ready to share your good news, and that you're not ashamed or embarrassed in sharing your good news. What has Jesus done to you? Well, tell folk what he did for you and how they can get in on it. May God bless you and may he keep you in our prayers on this day.
Brother Griffin, if you would please go ahead and close us out with a word of prayer.
Merciful God, we are so thankful and privileged to be able to identify with you on this day. We are thankful for your truth. We realize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We realize that you are the bread of life. You're the light of the world. You're the only way to the Father. You're the good shepherd. You're the resurrection of life. We just want to be in on all that you're about. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to nurture our hearts, souls, and spirit. Give us a reason to continue to live. In addition to what you've already done, allow it to touch our hearts daily. Let us be appreciative and thankful. And let us forever remember that we are obligated, that we are to be ready, and that we shouldn't be ashamed to identify our love with you and before all those who need to hear your truth and your saving grace. Guide us this day. Keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. This is the prayer we give you in the name of your Father, Son, and the Spirit of Almighty. This we do pray. Amen.
Have mercy on me, Lord. I just can't seem to get it right. Please don't give up on me, Lord. But let me find favor in your sight. I don't have to sin every day. One day I'll be just like Christ.
I'm trying hard,
but it will be only by your mercy.
Mercy, Father.